introduce a member of our family who's coming to share the word of the Lord today. Alan Houston is the senior advisor to the general manager of the New York Knicks. He is also the general manager of the Westchester Knicks, the Knicks farm team. He has been 10 years this year in the front office of the Knicks. Before that, you know him from the court. Alan played for 12 years with the Detroit Pistons and then with the New York Knicks. He is a two-time NBA All-Star. And here's one of my favorite things about Alan, all he's accomplished, he's an Olympic gold medalist. So, if you know Alan, then you can say, I know an Olympic gold medalist. That's like one of my favorite things. Alan has a foundation called the Legacy Foundation, where he invests especially in father-son relationships. He helps families that are under-resourced. He helps at-risk kids and at-risk families. And he's run retreats, father-son retreats around the country for many years. Alan has a brand new book called The Fundamentals of Life. And the Lord's opened a new door for Alan to travel. He's going into a lot of schools, into a lot of public forums, and he's sharing about his faith in Jesus Christ. And what an integral, the Lord's just given him a really wonderful window of opportunity to go places where sometimes other people cannot go and to talk about his faith in Christ. After this service, Alan's going to be on the lower level. We want to invite you to come downstairs, join us. We have coffee for everybody downstairs if you'd like a cup of coffee. And Alan's going to be signing books. And so if you'd like to pick up a copy of his book, The Fundamentals of Life, and have him sign it, he'll be signing and you can meet him afterwards. Alan and Tammy have been part of our Harvest Time family for 20 years. I don't follow basketball, I'm sorry, Alan. And I vividly remember the first time that Danielle Claroni brought you to Harvest Time. And Alan still has a baby face, but he really had a baby face 20 years ago. And I didn't know he was one of the biggest stars in the NBA. I thought he was a 16 or 17-year-old high school kid. But we've had such a good friendship. They have 7 children. And, you know, the Bible says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. So you know how you know when your quiver is full is when you start quivering. Alan and Tammy have 7 kids. We've had the pleasure of presenting them all to the Lord and praying over them and dedicating them. And I want to say they're such wonderful young men and young women serving the Lord. And they've just been our friends, and we thank you. I think, Tammy, we might twist her arm to say a few words to us as well. Would you please get on your feet? Would you give your best welcome to our friend, Alan Houston? Bless you, my friend.
Thank you. God bless you this morning. I guess a couple weeks ago when Pastor Glenn mentioned that I would be preaching, I looked over, I said, wait, did he mean speaking? He didn't mean preaching, did he? But first of all, I'm honored to be here this morning. Pastor Glenn, thank you so much for your friendship. Thank you for your mentorship. Thank you for your fatherhood. And just thank you for your discipleship. Pastor Glenn mentioned that Tammy and I came into the Civic Center 20 years ago, and we were invited by a friend of ours, and still friends of ours. And the first thing that I it was so refreshing because when I came into the building, it was at the Civic Center, it was just being there in the presence of the Lord. Usually, you know, I would go to a church and, you know, because I have been playing at the time and had a public presence, you have people that would kind of just want your autograph, but it was authentic. People just were like, were happy to have you worship with us. And to this day, it's the same way. give you a round of applause for our Pastor Glenn and Pastor Denise. You know, he 20 years later, you can see the fruit. And, you know, we've been honored. We've been thrilled. You know, as a father, I think that your biggest desire is that your children can have their own personal relationship with the Lord. And I can tell you, as they walk in and out of this building, in and out of our home, in and out of their schools, the reason that they have their own personal relationship with the Lord is because they've come here and been poured into every Sunday. So I just want to, again, just, if I could just say that and walk away, it would be enough for me today. Secondly, I'm not even going to embarrass you to stand up, but my wife, could you give my wife, Tammy, a round of applause. Usually when, you know, I tell people that we have 7 beautiful children, they immediately, like, think of her, of course, as they should. And they, like, say, by the same woman, first of all, and yes. And then they look at her, they're like, there's no way she has 7 children. The Bible says that he who finds a wife finds favor. And I have found favor with the Lord. The Bible also says, I think it's in 2 Timothy, that every scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training so that a man be prepared and equipped for righteousness. And I'm just grateful that God has used Tammy to equip me and train me, rebuke me, correct me in righteousness. So, Tammy, I just want to thank you for sticking with me and just being that rock for a friend. There's no way I could be standing up here, you know, literally, if it weren't for her being the rock of our family. I've had a lot of travels, and I've had a lot of things that I've been able to experience in my life, and I'm grateful for it. But when you see the picture, when you see that picture, that's an authentic grace of God. And we've had our challenges, as every marriage and every family and every person, every relationship has. But we're committed. You know, we're committed to knowing and doing what God has for us. So, again, just thank you, Harvest Time family and Pastor Glenn, for that. You know, when we think about the song just came earlier, it was, the word said, you're worthy of it all. And when I think about what our worth is and what's worthwhile, legacy is so important to me. And it has been for longer than I can actually remember, because I don't remember anything else that was more important. And so when I thought about what I would share today, I want to talk about what it is to build a worthwhile legacy. So many times throughout, you know, my career and talking to other people, we talk about that word legacy. And you could probably look and count, you know, the rings that you see up on this slide. And in my world, in our world, in sports, and I think in a lot of worlds, people, when you say legacy, people automatically go to championship rings. They go to a material gain. They go to accomplishments. They go to production. And that's the first way that people identify legacy. But is legacy truly that? You know, maybe legacy can be just your character, your values, your identity, how people know you as a person, things that you have taught people. But I would like to say that legacy, the most important part and dimension or level of legacy, is a spiritual heritage. It's a spiritual heritage. That is a true legacy. When my son turned 13, all of our children turned 13, and Pastor Glenn comes, and we like to model the Jewish tradition of a bar mitzvah. And I think it's a powerful ceremony. So during that ceremony, the scripture that I share with my son is, I'm glad I'm not a real pastor because that gives me the leverage to say I don't know the scripture. But I think it's in 1 Kings or 2 Kings when David is giving his charge to his son Solomon. And he said, as I go away about the earth, meaning as I pass on from this earth, I want to give you a charge. And his charge was to be strong and show yourself a man. But he said, follow all the commandments that the Lord gave me so that the throne, so that we will never lack a king on the throne of Israel. He says, so our legacy and our success will be if you follow God's commands. That is a legacy. That is a true legacy. What does it mean to build a true legacy? In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abraham, he wasn't Abraham yet, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on the earth will be blessed through you. What an amazing context and text to think about the word legacy. Why is legacy so important? Well, essentially, legacy is so important because what we have been given, every one of us has been given, and I like to share this with a lot of our youth and leaders, is we've all been given something unique and special. And the moment you realize that you have that and you have the potential to have impact, then you have to understand that it's for God's glory. The only thing that we've been given, well, the reason we've been given this is to point people back to the giver and the creator. That is our purpose. So I want to talk about some keys to actually building a worthwhile legacy. Things that have been given to me over the years and things that I've held on to and things that I've liked to pass on. First of all, the first foundation, the basic foundation, before you get into the tools and the framework, the foundation for building a worthwhile legacy is, first of all, hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. God told Abraham, I'm going to take you to a different place. I have to remove you from this, your current place and condition, and family and people who are close to you, to move you to a different place. Sometimes to hear God's voice, you have to seek God's voice. See, Abraham was getting a lot of cultural conflict in information and activity in his world. So not only that, his family and father were idol worshipers, so they were worshiping many gods. But God had to cut through the other gods and have Abraham, who was Abram at the time, listen to his single, unique, only voice. And I've seen and understood that there are a lot of voices that are going to be in battle for us. But God says if we seek him first, then we can hear his voice and we can know where he's moving us to. So the first foundation of building a worthwhile legacy is really intently and intensely seeking God's voice. A lot of young, aspiring leaders, they struggle with what is the next step? What's next? What am I going to do? Am I going to college? Can I go to college? When I'm in college, what am I going to study? What sport am I going to play? What am I going to do? Well, the first thing you have to understand is if God has his own perfect and unique plan for you, then you need to listen to his voice and seek his voice. And like with Abraham, he may not show you everything at the end right now. He might just show you where I need you to go just this next step, because you may not be able to handle the long-term vision right now. So he said, go to the land, I will show you. I'll show you what to do. Just take the next step, follow my voice, and it'll be obedient. Be careful. Be careful when you intensely listen and seek God's voice. Because if you hear from him directly, you are going to hear something very big. It's not going to be mediocre. It's not going to be average. It is not going to be at just the basic level. It is going to be a high, high level. I remember my first interview when I got drafted by the Detroit Pistons. And Lindsey Hunter, who was drafted right before me, and I were really kind of envisioned to being the next great backcourt for the Pistons. The previous backcourt were Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars, Hall of Fame guards, and they were known for beating up Michael Jordan in the playoffs and getting him angry so then he could go in and win his 6 championships. So they were responsible for putting that needle in him. When I stepped into the building and they interviewed me for the first time, they said, Alan, what are your goals? What do you want to do? I said, without thinking, I said, I want to be the best shooting guard in the NBA. And the interviewer looked at me like, what is this guy? He just came out of Tennessee, and now all of a sudden he wants to be the best shooting guard in the NBA. And later on in my life, I go back to that interview, and I go back to that answer. And what I came to discover later is that there was nothing wrong with the answer. The answer just had to be directed to God's glory. See, God doesn't mind us having a high vision and high expectations. He just wants to be the one who gets the glory in the end. So after I graduated from the University of Tennessee, I played for my father, as Pastor Glenn kind of alluded to. My fatherhood has been so important to me because I grew up with a father who was not only my hero, but he was so respected in our community. He was respected around the basketball circles. He coached the team. He was assistant coach on a team that won 2 national championships and went to 4 Final Fours. And people asked me about going to the NBA. I didn't think about going to the NBA until I was in college. I lived a dream when I was young, watching the best players in the world every day. So he and I had a chance to have a discussion when I got to New York, and we thought, well, what is it that we can pass on? What is it that we've learned that we can give back? And I was riding on a plane one day, and usually, as soon as the plane starts to take off, I would have a book and I would be asleep. That was my traveling routine. But this day, I couldn't sleep. And I got out a pencil and I said, I must be needing to do something productive. And just then God dropped 5 words into my hand and I just wrote them on a piece of paper. Faith, integrity, sacrifice, leadership, legacy. And God said, you have been sharing your knowledge around the fundamentals of basketball. Fundamentals of sports. You've been teaching shooting. You've been teaching passing. You've been teaching all these fundamentals of your sport. But I'm going to give you another level and a new dimension to your teaching around fundamentals. And they are going to be called the fundamentals of life. And these will be spiritual principles and fundamentals that you can align with anything that you teach, that will be biblical values that you can share. So immediately, you know, I got landed and I just started to think about, where is this going? Where is this doing? So now what is happening is God has given me and my family and our team a real model for coaching, for discipleship, for leadership, for mentoring. Because we know the connection between the youth, the adult, the follower, and the leader, the coach, the player, there has to be a very unique alignment and relationship. And there has to be a specific language that follows. So I'm going to share, when we talk about building a worthwhile legacy, I want to share with you how God has seen these things play out through that scripture, through the life of Abraham. So the first fundamental faith was, I didn't understand how it aligned so well that faith was going to be the first fundamental. In 2 Corinthians, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so last night, my youngest daughter, she looked at me reviewing the slides, and she said, well, what does that mean? And in my mind, my first reaction was, how do you not understand that? Right? We think things can be so simple, but sometimes they're not as simple because you can't see it right in front of you. But what God is asking us to do, the same way he asked Abraham, is he said, first of all, you have to trust that I am in control of the next step. And when God shows us something, we may not see it physically. We may not see it physically with our natural eyes right in front of us. But when you're in tune with the Spirit of God and you're listening to his voice, he will show you very vividly, spiritually, what that looks like. The same way he eventually showed Abraham as things progressed. Then he took him outside and he showed him. He pointed up to the stars and he said, as many stars in the sky will be your children. So he, at some point, he will show. But the other thing is that Abraham had a physical condition. He and his wife had a physical condition, a barrier, that God was going to use. They could not have children. She was barren. So he says, wait a minute, you're going to tell me that I'm going to have a nation and generations and children, but my wife can't have children? But what God does is he will use your physical condition to shape our spiritual position. When I was my second year with the Knicks, I had surgery. You can see a 2-inch scar on my wrist today. I had surgery on my right wrist. I'd fallen on my wrist and kept falling, and the doctor said, you know what, unfortunately, Alan, you're not going to like this news. I know that the one tool that gives you an advantage in your career is this right wrist. But I'm going to have to go in there and go inside, deconstruct all these little ligaments. You have bone spurs, you have torn ligaments, and you're going to be in an arm cast for 8 weeks, for 2 months, and you can't have this cast below your heart because we can't let the blood flow down. You're going to have to walk around like this for eight weeks. Literally. My friends were killing me. I walk in restaurants, and they just like, hey, yo, look at this guy right here, and I couldn't put my arm down. So embarrassing. That following fall or summer, when I got out of my cast, I literally couldn't bend my wrist. Scar tissue was so tight, and I had to go through intense rehab, just to bend my wrist 10 degrees. And we're approaching August, and I couldn't bend my wrist. And I'm like, wait a minute, we start training camp in 6 weeks. I cannot bend my wrist. Fast forward, they put me in this cast that I had to sleep in overnight. They said, well, Alan, the only way you're going to start to get, only way you're going to get flexibility and range of motion in your wrist is we're going to put a cast, so you're going to have to stretch your scar tissue in the wrist and sleep in this all night until you start to get your... Now, the season is starting now, And I had to have a change in the course of plan in my action, because I was known as a three-point shooter, but I literally couldn't shoot past 16 or 17 feet at this time, and the season had started. So I remember we were playing in the Rockets in Houston, and during that time, I was pouring myself out to God, like, look, I know this isn't, relatively speaking, there are people in the world who don't have jobs, and they're fighting for their next meal, but I do realize that this is what you've given me, God. I wrote on my cast that I was sleeping overnight the scripture. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 is what I wrote on my cast. In November 17, 1997, I remember the date, I got on my knees, and I said, God, I know you're using this for something bigger than just my wrist. This didn't have to be something. This is not a physical construct that you're working through. This is something deeper. So I got on my wrist, and I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I don't want to live an average spiritual life. I want to do more. So whatever you're going to do with my wrist really doesn't matter at the time, because I know it's going to be better in the end. I want to have more that you have for me. I wish I still had that cast as a remembrance, but I don't know where it is now to this day. But I remember getting on my knees and trusting God to show me and take me to the next step. And because I trusted God, he put me in the right place, and that's what he did with Abraham. So when you go think about this next fundamental of integrity, what God said is, in Genesis 15:6, he said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Because Abraham trusted and believed God, then he felt he could obey him. He obeyed God. One of the things that happens so much in our world, in my world, is how do people understand what is right from wrong? What God told Abraham is, because you trusted me and believed me, I'm going to make you righteous. Righteousness comes in Christ through one way. We're right with God. We're in right standing with God one way. Belief. See, a lot of people think that, you know, I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to get to God, get close to God by my actions, maybe by my words. But there's only one way that God has given us righteousness, being right with him, being in line with him, and that is trust, that is faith. When I signed with the Knicks, the first year was a very challenging year for me. I was making an adjustment playing with all-time greats like Patrick Ewing and John Starks and Charles Oakley, and coming from a different team with a different role was a big adjustment for me. To the degree that in the fourth quarters in the first half of that season, when the game got down to the last 4 or 5 minutes, I came out of the game, and I'm thinking, wow, so they brought me here where what I thought was to play a role to help finish the game. That was what I always felt my strength was to be a finisher, be the person that could be counted on when the time was the most important. But at this stage of the season, I wasn't playing, and I had to sit down with the coach and had an honest and frank conversation. And he didn't say it in these words, but what he really was telling me and sensing and what he was going through was he couldn't trust me at the time. There were a lot of things that I still had to learn about the system, about the terminology, about what was right and what was wrong. We can trust God for a lot of things, but the question is, can he trust us? The one thing I learned a lot about being a coach's son is being coachable. Are you coachable? It's one of the things that most athletes never ask themselves. They always ask what's going on around them, but they never look in the mirror saying, am I being coachable? Am I understanding what my role is so I know when I'm in the game, I know what the right decision is, the right shot to take, the right play to make, and how to make the right decisions. We have to understand how to be coachable. We have to understand that, God, I can't spend a week away from you or a morning away from you and understand what my role is. My role is to be coachable so I can know what my assignment is, so I can deliver the right message and deliver the right things that he is telling me. Righteousness is in Christ. Righteousness doesn't come from what I feel or what I think. Righteousness comes from being in a complete alignment with the Word of God. Can God trust us? We always say, can you play the right way? Do you make the right decisions? Well, that is only one way, is through faith in Christ. So integrity is the second fundamental. The third fundamental, I always say, is kind of where the rubber meets the road. Where the rubber meets the road. In Genesis 22, verse 16 and 17, said, because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand off the seashore. And your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. Recently, my son and I have tried to, you know, he's going off to college, so I'm trying to figure out the best way to continue to pour into him. He's growing. He's an adult. He's going to make his own decisions. So recently, we started having these little discussions in discipleship meetings, and we had a discussion around Abraham and Isaac and how God asked him to sacrifice his own son. And how deep that actually was. And so we got into this discussion around when Abraham had the knife in his hand and he was about to sacrifice his own son. And he said, no, I got you. I understand that now you were willing to give up the most important thing to you. For me. And I thought about, wonder what Isaac was thinking after that. I really do wonder what Isaac was thinking. And so my son had this interesting dialogue around that. But at the end of the day, if we really want to live at a high level and really want to maximize what God has for us, are we really willing to do or give up what's necessary? Are we really willing to? A lot of people in sports and in life say they want to win. They want to live a full and complete and whole life. They want to live in victory. But how many people really, 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 really want to win, really want to put it out and do whatever it takes to do that? And God will test us. In marriages, relationships, he will test your willingness to obey and do whatever it takes. My junior year in high school, to this day, is probably the toughest, most enduring conditioning program I've ever experienced. It was a 6-week conditioning program. And it got to the point where it built up. In the first 3 weeks, okay, you're getting in shape. And in the last, it's the fourth week, it just continues to build and build and build. And by the fifth or sixth week, you know, you see your teammates in the hallway, and you just knew that they couldn't sleep last night because I couldn't sleep last night thinking about after school, thinking about how tough this conditioning program was going to be. So you get to the last week, and at this point, you're in good shape. But it's so tough. It's tough. Now, at the time, my junior year, I had started to notice I had headaches. I was getting these headaches, and the headaches became more prominent. They were pounding and pounding in my stomach. I had these stomach pains. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, it's just it's probably the pressure of school. It's an intense time of the year, going through this conditioning program. It's my junior year, so I'm thinking, okay, now I was being ranked as one of the top players, and I'm like, maybe I'm just putting a lot of pressure on myself and wanting to live up to the expectations. The last day, it was the last day, in the last running drill, I made it through the line, and literally ran outside our gym door and collapsed, and that's all I remember. Woke up in the hospital, and the doctors and my parents were in there, and I had IVs in my arm, and they said, Alan, you literally had to receive a pint of blood. He said, you had a bleeding ulcer that you didn't even know about. Now, I had been taking some anti-inflammatories. You know, I had knee pains, and, you know, but when you're 16 or 17, you don't think about any of that. I have one mission. I'm on a mission. I'm trying to get through this program, get to the next phase, and I'm not thinking about what my body is enduring. Well, came to find out that this bleeding ulcer had created a hole in my stomach, and I had to receive a pint of blood from two people. And I look back at that time, and what I think about is, I wasn't really thinking about the physical endurance or the pain that I was going through. That really honestly was not an issue. And God is going to test us, not just physically, but he's going to test our character. He's going to test our faith. He's going to test our willingness and our determination to follow him. That's what sacrifice comes down to. It comes down to getting rid of your ego. One of my favorite scriptures is in Psalm 37:4, and he said, if you delight in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. If you delight in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. What that told me is that, first of all, I have to remove my desires, move them out of the way, move my ego out of the way, what I think is best for me, and not point to me, but say, God, what is the desire that you have placed in me so that it can be successful? Because that is really what sacrifice is. God is after our heart. He can take care of the physical, but he wants us to desire what he desires. And that's what sacrifice is. But so he will test our faith and obedience, but he's going to test your will. He's going to test your will. And some of us are very strong-minded and strong-willed. He's going to test it. And so the sooner we can be obedient and take our ego out of the way and say, God, what is it that you want? That's where I say the rubber meets the road. The fourth fundamental is leadership. So God tested Abraham. He tested his faith. He tested his integrity, and he allowed him to be obedient. So he said, I'm trying to prepare you because I want to make you a great nation. And I think about that a lot. What does that mean to be a great nation? And you see the picture of this young man who's mentoring and coaching some other young men. Well, just about 3 months ago, the young man that's actually coaching and teaching was in a very bad spot. He didn't know if he was going to be in jail the next day. So he comes through our mentoring program, and God bless him. They're going to be here in the second session. But I'm so proud of him because we know that what Abraham was saying was that when I'm going to make you a great nation, he said, I'm going to allow you to represent my people. You are going to be a representative of me. You are going to be a representative of the character and the heart of God. That is what he was setting aside Abraham for. He was removing him from his old ways and bringing him to new ways. And he said, what your name and what you're going to represent is me. We are here to represent the character and the heart of God. That's what the holy nation means. We're called to be set apart. And one of the things that's a challenge, I think, to a lot of parents and a lot of leaders and coaches, and I know for us, we are not going to be the same as everyone else. Leadership is lonely. Winning is hard. Winning is hard. One of the things that resonates the most when I get a chance to talk to young adults and a lot of middle school and high school kids is the concept of having an opponent, overcoming your enemy. And the only way to overcome that is to be prepared. Practice, preparation. And the only way to prepare properly is to do it a lot. And the only way to do it a lot is you're going to have to prioritize. God asks us to be different. He asks us to be set apart. That doesn't mean he asks to neglect friendships and neglect the culture, but he asks us to be different and understand when we need to be set apart from our culture. He asks us to be a holy nation. When I signed with the New York Knicks, one of the things that I found was that I needed to find someone who lived in this world, in this realm, in this lifestyle that I wanted to be like. I was recently on a plane, and a guy was, we started talking about basketball and sports and life. And he said, let me ask you a question. He says, so if you're sitting in front of a prospect and maybe their parents or someone who's going into this profession, what are some things that you would tell them? What's some advice you would tell them or things that you would tell them to stay away from? I said, that's a great question. And the first thing that I came to is, who are the people that they are going to be around every day? The biggest advice that I give people and I would give us, who are you seeking that you want to become more like? See, we need to be seeking like-spirited and like-minded people. Because if God has called us for something different and holy and be set apart, then that means there's someone out there that we need to be gravitating to that can show us and teach us that has been through that before. Everyone needs a coach. And we're talking about discipleship. When I stepped into the New Yorks, it was overwhelming. It was overwhelming because I'd just gotten married, coming to New York, the biggest media market in the world, with high expectations. But I had a lot, and still do, had a lot of character growth to have. I had a lot of growth that I needed to go through, a lot of maturity that I needed to go through. I had a good foundation of principles and values, but it doesn't mean anything if those principles and values aren't applied, right? It doesn't mean anything if you don't apply them. Who is going to help you apply your biblical principles and values every single day? Who is going to help you? Who is going to support you? Who is going to hold you accountable? And my charge is that it's not going to just happen. Yeah, we can pray and say, oh, Lord, okay, I just need a support system. But at some point, we are going to have to seek that system. We have to seek it out. And that is my biggest advice to not only my son, my family, me, and people that I'm close to. You have to seek it out. Because the enemy does not want that. The enemy wants you in isolation. Because when you're in isolation, then you can start feeling sorry for yourself. When you're in isolation, you can be separate, but in the wrong way. In isolation, you can succumb to other, the desires of the enemy. So leadership is not just about having a title, having a position. Leadership is about seeking out someone that can help me get to the place that I want to go, and someone that can be honest with me, hold me accountable, but support me at the same time. And I've been so fortunate, so blessed to have that. Pastor Glenn has been that. People in this church have been that. I have coaches that have been that. I have mentors that have been that. And that is our responsibility. That is when God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation because you're going to be a reflection of me. Thank you. That's what legacy is. In the last fundamental, he said, I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. You will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Through you. Just a week ago, we had a little family. We always have these funny conversations that come out of nowhere, because when you can imagine having seven young personalities, two of us, you never know where the conversation is going to start and where it's going to go. This was good, because we got into this discussion of, how did you come up with my name? How did this name come up? So when we got to my son, Alan, there was not a lot of discussion, because he was like, well, you guys knew what my name was going to be, because I'm a junior. My father is Alan Wade Houston. I'm a junior. So when we had our first son, I don't think there was a lot of discussion on what his name was going to be. I don't know. Was there? I don't know. But what all I remember is he's saying, you know, you guys knew. There was no saying that. You knew that the name was going to be passed down. And I didn't have much thought about it. The one thing I did think about was when he got older. Now, this is obviously, I was 30 at the time. So I wasn't obviously where I am now in terms of being able to look back and think about what his life has been like. All I thought about during this conversation is, what does that name mean? What does your name mean? What is it that people, when they say your name or think of you, what do they really think? What comes up? I remember when I got my jersey retired at the University of Tennessee. I remember the ceremony very vividly, because my grandfather wasn't living at the time, my father's father, but he would be at every single game in the same seat when we were for 4 years in college. And he would always have this one saying that he would tell me every time. He would say, Alan, they may be able to slow you down, but they'll never be able to stop you. They may be able to slow you down, but they'll never be able to stop you. And I thought about that when I was getting my jersey retired, and I thought about it at his funeral, because when people see the name, when they see Houston up, when they go to the University of Tennessee, when they see the jersey, the last thing I want them to think about was a jump shot. I don't want them to remember games. What I want them to think about was what the name and the character behind the jersey meant. Abraham became known as the father of faith and the father of many nations. His family they were nomads, they were non-believers, they were idol worshipers. And God pulled him from there, and he said, I'm not only going to pull you out of this situation, you're going to have nations, religions, that are going to look to your name and say that through you, I'm going to be blessed. Not only that, he became the conduit. Through Abraham and his seed, literally and spiritually, we now have faith in Jesus Christ because he had faith first. That is what all this means. It means that when people say our name and people encounter us, will they see our actions? Will they see our words? But ultimately, will they see Christ? Will they see Christ somehow in us or when they say our name? That's what's most important to me, and that's why the last concept is very profound to me. Because when I think of legacy now, the reason I thought of this concept of building a worthwhile legacy and not remembering your legacy is because that's what we're doing every single day. We're building our legacy. We're building it. We're constructing it. That's why every second matters. Every moment matters. Every word matters. Every touch matters. Every look matters. Everything matters. I mean, we're in a world now, you can go and look on your phone, and you can go outside and you can look at how much conflict and how the morality, the fabric, the moral fabric of our society is dropping and plummeting. Well, who's going to hold the standard up? Who is going to hold that standard up? And it's going to get harder and harder. Our kids, it's going to get tougher. But can they do it? They absolutely can do it. I thought about this picture, and I said, well, this is kind of vain to put this picture up. But the reason I wanted this visual, because every probably 2 days, I get people reminding me of this one moment. I have people come to me from all over the world, and they say, I remember that moment. That moment meant so much to me. It was such an important part of my life. And all I could think about was growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, following my dad around, playing in Rupp Arena in Kentucky and playing at the University of Tennessee, all those practices, all the shots, all the sweat, all the injuries, all the ice, all the Advil, all the headaches. Sometimes come down to one moment. And that moment, you realize that moment could have been the moment that impacted everything. That shot was one moment. But the thing about the moment was that it wasn't so much the make or the miss or the bounce that went off the rim or in. It was the preparation for the moment. It was the preparation for the moment. And what I would just share in this moment is that one centimeter, one pass, one cut, one play, one moment, one word could impact eternity. It could impact eternity. I've had people come up to me and say, you know, Alan, 10 years ago, you don't even remember this, but you shook my hand and you said, God bless you. You signed a scripture and it said, trust in the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come up to me and say, you signed this autograph that said, trust the Lord. And today my son has received Christ because he kept that. He kept that. This might be a moment in someone's life that they are deciding for eternity. This might be a moment that matters that much. So the question is, and maybe the worship team can come up, but the question is this. What is the Lord telling you? What is he telling you the same way he told Abraham come and I will show you the next step. And after I show you the next step, then I will show you the next step. And after I show you that, I'll show you something even bigger. Then I will show you how you're going to be the father of many nations. And then the question is, what will be your response? What will that look like? What will that be? You know, just recently, a few days ago, I was in our office, and one of our coaches out of the blue said, you know, Alan, you traveled on that play, right? I said, what play? No, your shot. He said, you know, you traveled. I said, no, I didn't travel. I said, well, nobody called it. And I said, no, nobody called when the guy hit me on the top of my head either. And so even in that moment, he saw something that nobody else saw. Even in that moment, there was something that God showed him. And I would just say that every second of our life, it matters. Now, the thing about that shot that sticks out to me is that in these moments, a lot of people will not really want to take the shot. There are a lot of people who will stand in the corner, may even remove themselves from the view so they will not have to risk missing the shot. But what good is that? Because a lot of times I tell people about shooting, I say, well, there's only one or two things that can happen. When you shoot a basketball, there's only one or two things that can happen. You can either miss it or you can make it. If you miss it, guess what? You will get another chance to shoot again. If you make it, guess what? You made the shot. But if you don't put yourself in a position to take the shot, you'll never know. You'll never have the opportunity to know. But what if you could put yourself in a position to make a shot 100% of the time? Think about that. What if you could be guaranteed to make the shot, but you have to put yourself in a position, to take the shot? For me, building a worthwhile legacy is putting yourself in a position to hear God's voice, putting yourself in a position to trust Him, to show you what the next step is. It's putting yourself in a position to obey Him, to be obedient. It's putting yourself in a position to give up and remove everything that's in your way. It's putting yourself in a position so that others can walk with you and be with you during the next step, hold you accountable. And it's putting yourself in a position to leave a worthwhile legacy so that others can be blessed through you. So, you know, this is the part where I would love for anyone who says they're open for the shot, but wants to actually come up and take the shot. Even if you've received Jesus Christ in your life, you know, maybe there's something telling you that I want more. I want more. God is doing some incredible things for those who want more. You know, in that game, it was probably one of my worst overall performances in the playoffs. You know, I only had 6 points at that time, something like that. But what I tell people is, only thing that matters is what happens in the moment that matters the most. Be prepared for that moment. If you're prepared for that moment, then you'll be successful no matter what happens. God is doing some incredible things for those who want to have those moments in their life. But you have to want those moments and expect those moments. And that today is what living a worthwhile and building a worthwhile legacy is all about. Thank you. God bless you.
Oh, come on. Let's just let Alan know how much we appreciate that word today. In just one moment, Alan's going to go downstairs. He's going to be signing copies of his book, The Fundamentals of Life, and you can pick up a copy. He'll be happy to sign it. But just before we finish this service, you know, I feel like we need to respond to the word that we've received today. God wants every one of us to move into position to make that shot. Alan was talking about integrity. He said Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him for righteousness. You know, no matter how hard we try, and our best efforts, we can never be righteous on our own. The way righteousness comes is by believing on Jesus. And I'm just wondering, I want us to pray together. And then Alan, actually, before the service said, I want everybody to pray for me and to pray for this opportunity the Lord has given me to bring this fizzle message into public forums where not a lot of people have access to speak. And so I'm wondering if you'd like to say, Lord, I want to move into position today to take that shot by hearing your voice. I'm wondering, would you just step out of your seat and come join me right here at the front? And then Alan's going to pray for us, and then we're going to pray for him and the ministry. Tammy, are you here? Did she go downstairs already? Oh, she's here. Come stand with us, Tammy, if you would. And if you want to say, Lord, I just want to move into position to hear your voice. I want to move into position to be prepared for that moment, to make that shot, to leave a legacy. Would you just lift up your face and lift up your hands to the Lord? And Alan, I want to invite you. Would you pray for us? Lead us in a prayer if you want to. And then we're going to pray for you, and then we're going to finish our service.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're so grateful. We're so grateful that it was by nothing that we've done that you've given us. It's by grace. And you said that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to your purpose and who love you. And you said that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this moment. We thank you for every single moment that matters. We thank you that you've given us righteousness through faith in you, Father. And Lord, we know that you've called us for victory. You've called us for victory. And so Lord, I just pray that you show each and every household, each and every heart, each and every mind right now, Lord, what that means for them and for us, Father. I thank you for Pastor Glenn and Denise. I thank you for the ministry team here at Harvest Time. I thank you for what you've done for our family through this ministry. I know that there are still goals that are needed to be met, Father, and I thank you that they will be met because you've shown Pastor Glenn the vision. You've shown us the vision. You've shown us what will happen when people come into your house and they earnestly seek you, Father. You said you never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And those right now who have come, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would pour a special abundance of wisdom right now, Father. Those, some of us who have specific needs. And Lord, we thank you that you would not only meet them, but you would exceed them, Father. And so, Lord, we love you. We bless marriages right now, Father, all the marriages, Father, all the children, Father, all our youth right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, give them accountability partners, Father. Give them people that they will not be walking this culture alone, Father. Give them like-minded and like-spirited young men and women who can walk with them, Lord, and be mantles and be set apart for this holy nation. Lord, we just thank you for the joy, the abundant joy that you've given us to serve you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing even more than we could even imagine, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very, very quickly, would you stretch your hands towards Alan and Tammy? They asked us to pray for them, so let's pray for them. Father, thank you so much for our precious friends, Lord, for our brother and sister in Christ, for our co-laborers. Lord, thank you for the message that you've given to Alan to share, Lord, the fundamentals of life. And thank you, Lord, for new open doors, Lord, to share this message, Lord. Father, we thank you that you've given Alan and Tammy and their family a platform, Lord, with national visibility, Lord, from which to proclaim your goodness. Father, we pray for your anointing, Lord, on this book. We pray for your anointing on their message. Lord, we thank you that even today, Lord, is just the beginning, Lord, of an amazing season of impact and fruitfulness, Lord Jesus. So, Father, bless our friends and the ministry that you've entrusted to them. Alan and Tammy, I just feel like that today's like a launch. I know the Lord's given you the book. I know you've already been out there sharing the message, but somehow I just feel like you sharing this here today in front of your church family, I just feel like it's a launch, and I feel like the Lord is going to catapult you and like to the stars, like to infinity and beyond, and I just feel like this book and this message is just going to take off, and it's going to just kind of go viral from this point forward. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, bless our friends in the wonderful name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. All right, Dave and Mark, I need you to grab Alan and Tammy. Come right here. Come, and you're going to walk them out the side door, and nobody's going to stop them, all right? And let Alan get downstairs, and you can go downstairs, get a copy of The Fundamentals of Life, have a cup of coffee, if you like to have a cup of coffee, and enjoy some fellowship. If anybody likes special prayer, you're welcome to come to the altar, and our friends will pray with you. God bless you, everybody. Lord be with you. Thank you for being with us today. Have a great Sunday.